I want to say a very warm welcome to everyone today, to those of you who are the regular members of the congregation, especially though to the candidates who are going to be baptized in some instances and confirmed, and to those who are here to support them, family and friends. It's lovely to be able, therefore, to welcome folk from various congregations today, and a special joy to be able to share in this with folk from the Ascension West Dean. If there are any here with very small children, and if during the course of the service you need somewhere to go to with your child, the vestry to my right is a useful creche area. There will be refreshments after the service in the barn, and I hope that everyone will feel able to stay and to share in that time together. If you're not sure where the barn is, ask or follow others who are going in that direction. During communion, there will be 3 points at which communion will be administered. Those of you sitting over there in the south aisle, if you come, as it were, very close to the pew ends, to receive from just in front there, and then return via the middle of that aisle. Those of you sitting here in the central aisle, exactly the same, coming up against the pew ends to this point here, and then returning via the centre. And there will be a third point over here for those of you sitting in the south aisle. I publish the banns of marriage between Kevin Peter Cunningham of this parish and Catherine Mary Arnold of this parish, and on the electoral roll of Bishop Hannington Memorial Church, Hove. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. This is for the third time of asking. And finally, just to say that the hymns and songs that we sing won't be announced. Be ready simply to sing them as the organ and the band strike up to lead us in those hymns and songs. And so we stand now for the first hymn, All My Hope on God is Founded.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope to which we were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
Peace be with you. I want to echo Neil's words of welcome at the beginning, especially to the candidates. I did hear him say also welcome to friends, family and supporters. And I think your presence here is a very important sign that in this Christian life, there is no such thing as an individual Christian. We need one another's support. There's those wonderful images in the New Testament of the church as the body of Christ. We may be only a little toenail, but we are a little toenail, and we need other little toenails and fingers and arms and hearts and that's other people's functions. And without each other, we're not complete. And that's one of the reasons why the centre of our life is the celebration of our communion with Jesus Christ, who is the head of whose members we are, of whose body we are the members. So let us sing our great hymn of praise to God, Glory in the Highest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom. where he is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 12. In the third year of King Cyrus, a word was revealed to Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning at verse 11. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds," he also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Alleluia. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.
Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm really going to talk to those who are being confirmed this morning, but the rest of you can listen as well if you like. When God confirms you, and it is of course God who will be confirming you, not me, he will be strengthening you. That's what's one of the meanings of the word confirmation, to be his witnesses, his ministers, his agents. You're actually going to be given a job to do. God will be giving you his grace, so that you can be stronger as his witnesses and in testifying to him. And you are being confirmed this morning and being given the most stupendous responsibility in the world. You receive when you're baptized, we all receive when we're baptized, a supernatural gift of faith, a gift of faith in the God who saves and wants everybody to come to know him. And we are the guardians, the trustees, the treasurers of that incredible prize. And so as Christians, we simply have to behave in such a way that other people will, to use a modern expression, wonder what we're on. From the very beginning of the life of the church, outsiders have been drawn to Christianity, above all by their amazement at how different the disciples of Jesus are. Now, I don't actually mean how different from each other, although we are different from each other, but I mean how different from the rest of the world. And this has sometimes been quite difficult over a number of centuries in countries like our own, where the faith has been around for so long that people almost take it for granted. It's sort of part of the atmosphere. Well, it will merge into the landscape, but times are changing, and it's getting harder every day to admit that we're Christians. Now, we're not alone in this. This is true for all people of faith. This is a very hostile environment in which to live and to proclaim one's faith. And so we do have some solidarity with believers in other faiths as well, I think, and some really big struggles ahead about how we're going to try to build a genuinely just and tolerant society. But obviously, from our point of view, the most important thing is to concentrate on the difficulty that we're going to face in proclaiming and living the Christian faith. And I think in these years ahead, we're going to have to think very hard about how different we shall need to be if we're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ in the middle of a society that's lost its way. It actually thinks it's got a way, but it's a rather strange kind of way. We learn to need to explain rather more confidently and openly than we often have what it is that makes us tick. I was very, very pleased at the Bishop of Lichfield's suggestion that all Christians should actually wear, particularly during Advent, you know, a distinctive symbol of their faith. Some people actually say, "Why are you wearing that?" and give you a chance to talk about it. And in fact, in our December newsletter, the same advice is being given in this diocese. Don't be afraid. Don't let it be a private event. Make it be public that you're a believer. And then, of course, we need not only to live our lives in a Christian way, but also learn how to tell other people about it. Now, in this morning's Gospel, Jesus was talking about the great temple in Jerusalem, and that all that it spoke of, about how great God is, and also that God lives with his people. And in the Bible, the temple was a kind of magnet, a place which was going, so the prophet said, to draw all people from every nation to Jerusalem. They'd all come and they'd know and worship God round the temple in Jerusalem. That was the picture that the prophets had. It was also a kind of power station, sending God's energy out to the whole world so that people everywhere could become what God had created them to be and what he wants them to be. Well, that was the ideal. But when Jesus talked about the temple, as he did in this morning's gospel, Jerusalem was occupied territory. The Roman Empire was the superpower of the time, and nobody else could do anything very much about it. So the temple was therefore something, as well as being a holy place, it was also a sign of freedom, a symbol of people's protest against the superpower, a sign of the people's faith, which could not be taken away by any number of Roman soldiers. And so that also meant, of course, that the temple had a sad side to it, which was a reminder of what they had lost. They had lost the freedom to live and practice their faith in their own land without the ever-present threat of interference from those outside. In fact, things were just about to get worse. Only a few years after the time of Jesus, an uprising led to a brutal response, and in their war against terror, the Romans completely destroyed the temple, and it's never been built since then. And that, of course, wasn't the worst of it. In the process, God's people themselves got divided. Families split, brother against brother, sister against sister, parents and children on opposite sides. We heard Jesus prophesying that in the Gospel. And that's one of the reasons why even today we think of Jews and Christians as different religions, and yet sons and daughters of the same God. So I hope you can see what a tragedy that is, and just perhaps in passing, why Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, which are holy to Jews, Christians and Muslims, are still so sensitive, still a symbol of human hopes for a united world in which everybody will be drawn to one place and worship one God, and a place in which all God's children can worship in peace and harmony, but also a symbol of human division and conflict. It's very, very confusing. But that, you see, is precisely the point of today's gospel reading. We are not called, and again I'm still speaking especially to those being confirmed, we're not called to testify to Jesus in a trouble-free, dream-like, romantic world where everything's going swimmingly and there's no conflict. That would be a nice dreamy world, but it's not the one that actually exists. Where you've got to testify, where you've got to be faithful, where you've got to live Christian lives, is right in the middle of this horrible, messy, divided, complicated world as it actually is. And that sometimes is going to mean taking sides. I shall ask you at the end of the service whether you're going to stand up for peace and justice. There are times when that's actually going to involve you saying no to some things that other people want you to say yes to. And given things are every bit as brutal and horrible and divided in the world as they are, it's especially important that we should be confident witnesses to hope, that all this division and conflict and enmity is not the last word. God has the last word, and God is drawing very slowly, very patiently, everyone to himself. Well, like Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, the whole world is living under occupation. The occupation of the forces of sin, hatred and violence. But as I say, they do not have the last word. And it's our job, yours and mine, to keep saying that loud and clear. Now, we'll never know quite when we're going to be called to testify. You can never sort of speculate in advance the actual test issue. What's the moment when you're actually going to stand up and be counted? I think of one of my great predecessors, George Bell, when the British Royal Air Force was embarked on a destruction bombing campaign in Germany to create firestorms in civilian populations as a way of destroying. And George Bell knew, however right the war was in principle, he knew that was a war crime and a terrible thing to do. And he was very brave and he stood up and he stood with Winston Churchill over it. But you can never tell in advance. Perhaps it's at work, perhaps it's at school, perhaps it's at home. Something comes up and you suddenly actually know in your heart somewhere, that you've got to stand up at that point. But you can't always tell it in advance. So we won't know quite when we're going to be called to testify, and we shouldn't worry about it. And Jesus' promise to his first disciples is a promise to us too. We are not supposed to prepare a ready-made set of answers to questions that people aren't asking, clever solutions to complex problems. What we are supposed to do is to trust God that when we are challenged, we'll be given the words and the wisdom that we need. And I like to say that God spent a lot of time forming your nose. You just need to learn to follow it. So that, you know, when your nose tells you that this is the moment to stand up and be counted, that's the moment to stand up and be counted. Don't worry if you get it wrong. Don't worry if you say something a little bit clumsy. Don't worry if people misunderstand you. Go for it and let God make of it what he can. And one last thing. I said earlier that one of the most persuasive things about early Christianity was the example of the Christians. People used to say in the second century, see how these Christians love one another. Gosh, they wouldn't be saying that with much of a much sort of sincerity these days. But it wasn't, of course, just that the Christians loved each other. The most remarkable thing about the Christians was they actually loved other people as well, and very specially loved and prayed for their persecutors and those who hated them. Wow, that would make a difference, wouldn't it? If we didn't only grow stronger in our own fellowship, but really show that we were committed to the common good of all people wherever they are, and very especially if they're trying to do us down. That really would make us different. God is confirming you above all so that you can live his kind of life. You may have to speak about Jesus, and I've hinted some of the times when you might have to, and you'll need the power of his Spirit to be able to do so. But far, far more important than speaking about Jesus is living for Jesus, and you need the power of his Spirit to do that above all, and that's what today is about. Amen. And could I please ask those who are going to be baptised or conditionally baptised to stand, and everybody else remain seated? Do you wish to be baptised? And could I please ask the other confirmation candidates to stand as well, please, now? Have you been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Are you all now ready, with your own mouth and from your own heart, to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ? Well, congregation, would you please stand? This is a promise for you to make as well. Faith is the gift of God to his people. In baptism, the Lord is adding to our number those whom he is calling. People of God, will you welcome these candidates and uphold them in their life in Christ?
With the help of God, we will.
I think the congregation can rest again now. Would you sit down? But all the candidates remain standing, please. In baptism and confirmation, God calls us out of darkness into his marvellous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour? Do you turn to Christ as Saviour? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. Fight valiantly as disciples of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil, and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your lives. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Would the congregation please stand? I'm going now to bless the font and the water in which the three baptism candidates are going to be baptized. I'm also, before their baptism, going to ask them about the faith into which they're going to be baptized, which is, of course, not a private conviction of their own, but the faith of the church, the faith in which all who've been baptized and have entered their life in Christ. And so it's an opportunity for us all to renew our own baptismal promises. So I invite anyone else who'd like to in the church to join in the words of the creed with the candidates. Please do so sotto voce so we can hear them. It's them that the angels want to hear and not you. And then at the end, after their baptism, I will very quickly sprinkle with water that's been blessed, the congregation, just as a reminder of the baptism in which we stand. There was one of the early fathers of the church said that he was commenting on the early Christian symbol of a fish. You know, lots of people like to wear a fish as a Christian symbol. And the fish was a Christian symbol because in Greek, the word for fish, the initial letters are Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. So it was a kind of little sort of code for Christians to recognise each other by. But this particular early father said, because we are Christians, we are little fish. Because Jesus is the big fish, we're the little fish. And little fish have to continue in water. And if they get out of the water, they die. So we actually got to live in our baptism, and that's one of the reasons why water is such an important thing in our lives. Praise God who made heaven and earth.
Who keeps his promise forever.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water to sustain, refresh and cleanse all life. Over water, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. In water, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us from the death of sin to the newness of life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we baptize into his fellowship those who come to him in faith. Now sanctify this water, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, they may be cleansed from sin and born again. Renewed in your image, may they walk by the light of faith and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
So I now am going to ask you to profess the faith in which you are going to be baptised and confirmed. And as I say, anyone else who'd like to renew their own baptismal faith, please join in the words of the creed with the candidates. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Just to explain that where it has been impossible to establish proof of baptism, a comment of conditionality will be used. So, Mary, is this your faith? If you have not been baptized, Mary, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Is this your faith? George, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Is this your faith? If you haven't been baptized before, from answer, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for our fellowship and household of faith with all who have been baptized into your name. Keep us faithful to our baptism, and so make us ready for that day when the whole creation shall be made perfect in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who has made heaven and earth.
Blessed be the name of the Lord,
now and forever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, you have given these your servants new birth in baptism by water and the Spirit, and have forgiven them all their sins. Let your Holy Spirit rest upon them, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and inward strength, the Spirit of knowledge and true godliness, and let their delight be in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Sarah, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Zaya, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Diana, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Samantha, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit. Thea May, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Georgia, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mary, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, although it looks from the service paper as though you ought to join in this prayer, those who've just been confirmed should not. Okay, this is the rest of the congregation praying for you. I hope you will continue to pray for those who've been baptized and confirmed this morning, both here and in your own church elsewhere. But this is our chance to pray for them together as a group, so I invite you to pray with me. Defend, O Lord, these your servants with your heavenly grace, that they may continue yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until they come to your everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Generous God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that we may be strengthened to serve you better. Lord, in your mercy.
We thank you for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to make us wise to understand your Lord, have mercy.
We thank you for the peace, the Holy Spirit. We ask you to keep us confident of your love wherever you call us. Lord, hear our mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We thank you for your for the healing of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to bring peace and wholeness where there is division, sickness and sorrow. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We thank you for the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to equip us for the work which you have given us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We thank you for the fruit of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to reveal in our lives the love of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for the breath of your Holy Spirit given by the risen Lord. We ask you to keep the whole church, living and departed, in the joy of this eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I don't know what your practice is in this church, but our archbishops have asked us not to shake hands at the sign of peace during the present flu pandemic. It's a bit difficult to work out exactly where things are going at the moment, but just a fortnight ago there were 78,000 new cases in a single week. And of course infections are easily passed on that way, and because you'll be receiving communion in your own hands, it's quite important that we don't actually spread any infection around. You look all incredibly healthy, so I'm sure you're all right. But I mean, that's the reason for it, and it's not to protect ourselves from infection, it's actually to avoid any possibility of passing anything to anybody else. Now, all is not lost. It's actually quite possible to turn to each other and look at each other and say, "The peace of the Lord be with you," and actually look into each other's eyes rather than give them a shifty handshake. So it could actually be rather better. To crown all things, there must be love. To bind all things together and complete the whole, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, and the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Yes, fine. That's a cat amongst the pigeons, isn't it?
Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for your holy people. And now we give you thanks that he is the King of glory, who overcomes the sting of death and opens the kingdom of heaven to all believers. He is seated at your right hand in glory, and we believe that he will come to be our judge. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Wilfrid, St. Richard of Chichester, and all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. As our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. The body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ. The the body of Christ. 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 The body of Christ.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, in this holy sacrament you give substance to our hope. Bring us at the last to that fullness of life for which we long, through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Could I ask the candidates, please? They're not candidates anymore, but would you come forward, please? And turn and face the congregation. We still say sometimes, don't we, I've seen the light when the pen is dropped and you've actually got the point. In the early church, people who had just been baptized and confirmed were normally described as Illuminati. People had been illuminated, they'd seen the light, because they received that wonderful gift of faith that God gives us when we come to recognize him as our Lord and Savior. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and given us a place with the saints in light. You have received the light of Christ. Walk in this light all the days of your life. Shine as lights in the world to the glory of God the Father. Now, we'd like to sit again. There's one other thing I just need to say to you before we finish the service. I stressed at the beginning of the sermon, you remember, that it's God who confirms. People sometimes say that confirmation is about people confirming their faith. Well, very interesting to say what we think, and much more interesting to know that God has set his seal of approval upon us and has declared his favour towards us. Confirmation starts as God's gift, and baptism, of course, is also God's gift. Which is why you'll notice two of the baptism candidates were, as Neil explained, conditionally baptised, because there was a doubt about it. But you can't, of course, be baptised twice, because if it's God's work, God actually declaring his favour towards us, the worst thing you could possibly do in the world is to have doubts about God's gifts. And that's why you can't repeat baptism, and that's why it's God who confirms and not we who do it. However, it might sound as though we've got nothing at all to do with it. Well, we haven't up until this point. So far, it's been as we've just sung in the hymn, "Because thy promise I believe. Thank you, God, for giving me faith." But the rest of the life has got to be working out what it actually means. And so we're now going to come to the solemn challenge to those who receive this free gift about what they're actually going to do about it for the rest of their lives. Because though the gift of faith is free, and the implications of it for our hard work and our service in the world really mean they've got to make quite a contribution themselves to it. Those who are baptized and confirmed are called to worship and serve God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbour as yourself? Will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Would you stand, please? Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who has made known to us.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Henceforth, world without end.
The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen and settle you in the faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Now go in the light and peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.